Welcome to the I Am Shiftable podcast, where each episode you begin to shift your state into your true essence. Every week, Reiki, sound, and meditation masters Lindy and Mars will help you make small shifts through meditation, sound healing, Reiki, yoga nidra, and other mindful modalities so that you can start, continue, or expand your meditative practice and ultimately transform your healing journey. Experience divine bliss and be able to affirm again and again, I am shiftable.
Welcome to the I Am Shiftable podcast. We are here on episode number 3, and it is our first time together with Lindy and Mars. Hi, Lindy.
Hey, Mars. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
Awesome. Awesome. Happy to do this.
Yay, beautiful. We're so excited to be here together. As you know, episode 1 was all about Mars, number 2, all about Lindy. And here we are together today to discuss our journey to India. So as Lindy and I have given you some teasers about, we met together for the first time in India, and we felt that it was such a magical journey that we needed to share it with you, our listeners, so that you can take away some of the beautiful things that we learned together and be able to hopefully shift some of your energy with the lessons that we took away there.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And in a space where you come up to where we had no idea what to expect really, and we're just open to whatever was, which I think was the biggest key there.
Just to be yes. Lindy, we both kind of have our own experience of what led us to want to go to India. So what was that for you? What can you share with our listeners that made you decide, I think I need to go to India?
Well, I had taken my yoga certification in 2010 and 11. So after that, I realized that if I was going to go deeper in this yogic practice, the best place to go is the place that it originated, which is India. So I set my course and I made a plan and I decided to go deeper with what I'm passionate about, which is basically with sound and healing through meditation with mantras and singing bowls and those sorts of things. So I wanted to go deeper. So I looked into courses that India was offering about sound healing using Tibetan sound bowls. So I scheduled a couple of courses since I wanted to be there for at least a month. If you're going to travel that far, 36 hours, you might as well get your dime's worth, right?
Exactly.
Right. So I scheduled 2 courses. The first one was the sound course, and then the second one was this 10-day immersion in the meditation where we met. So,
yes. Mm-hmm. I had a similar journey. I was in I took a shamanic journey during a full moon, and that's where the idea was placed in me. And as soon as I came out of that journey, I went home and I Googled meditation teacher training in India, and I came across Shiva Jaresh in Rishikesh, India. So first of all, Rishikesh, India is where the Beatles have their ashram. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then I find Shiva, and here's this young kind of Fabio looking teacher with this long blowing Indian hair, and he was just so beautiful, and I thought, I'd like to study with this guy. I don't know how my husband will feel about it, but I could study with him. And so within a matter of 24 hours I was booking my journey to India, my plane tickets, and reaching out to Shiva to make sure that he had space available in his course.
That's awesome.
Yes, awesome. Yes. So what about going there? So thinking about fear that comes up when there's travel involved, and especially in such a place like India, did you have anything coming up for you, Lindy, when you were booking your journey?
No, because I'd already moved to London once, so I didn't have any fear as far as traveling. My biggest hiccup was trying to plan all of the connecting flights and where am I going, and my girlfriend at the time, luckily she stepped in and saved me. But if it wasn't for that, I maybe or may not have made it the same time you did. But she was able to plan all my travel arrangements. So that was a blessing.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I didn't have trouble booking the travel. I think I've traveled enough that it was just kind of boop, 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 easy and done. Mine was actually planning to get there. So I forgot to notify my bank that I was traveling. And it was all such a quick trip. Everything was happening so fast. And at the same time, we were working on selling our house in Virginia. And then a couple weeks after India, we were heading to Ireland for a wedding. So there was just, I'm very American when it comes to that sense, like pack it all in. And I forgot to tell my bank that I was traveling. So during my 12-hour layover in Canada, my debit card did not work. And it was the year when I was getting off of credit cards. So I didn't even carry a backup credit card with me. So there I am, credit card or bank card declined in Canada with 12-hour layover to go. And it was a Sunday. So it was like, oh crap, the banks are closed. What am I going to do? I have no cash, nothing. It was very irresponsible. Traveling in that sense. So thank God for Western Union, because Brandon, my husband, was able to wire some money to me. And I think you sent me like $100 because we're like, oh, it's just the click of a button, right? They'll be able to fix this tomorrow on Monday. And so got $100 cash in my pocket and flew on to India. So, how was it for you when you first arrived, Lindy, in India? Because you either love it or hate it.
Yes. So here, this trip I had been planning since 2011. So here it is 2017 when we went, right? Mm-hmm. It was last year. So when I arrived, the taxi could only take me to a certain part. And then I had to get out and go through half this town with my luggage. Then to cross over the Ganges, narrow floating bridge that was a little scary because the width of this river is really wide, you know. So, and the only things that were on this bridge are people packed, motorcycles, cows, and me with my luggage trying to sort through all this with all this noise. And I'm very sound sensitive with my ears. Sounds are louder than what they need to be, I think, in my awareness. So by the time I schlepped my stuff across this bridge to go down the Rishikesh to try to find the hotel, I finally find the hotel. I'm standing in front, and I have this realization and this thought that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I was thinking. And my mind was really searching on a way that I can go get back on a taxi and go back home. Mm-hmm. I had planned this for 7 years. So luckily you have this phone a friend, right? So thankfully, again, my then girlfriend, I called her up and I said, I don't know what's happening right now, but I can't even hear myself think. I was so stressed out. I was tired. I was hungry. So she said, wait, hold, pump the brakes. Hang on a second. This is what you're going to do. Go in your hotel, take a shower, get into bed, and set your alarm for 4:00. So by this time, you know, we were 10 and a half hours into the future also. So add that on there. So my reality was all this craziness. So I took her advice, went to bed. The alarm goes off at 4:00 p.m. so I can get in their time. And the idea was to get something to eat, but I was more tired than hungry. So I turned the alarm off, and I woke up the next morning, and my first order of business was to find a coffee shop. So I found someone that knew of this wonderful coffee shop that overlooked the Ganga River. Oh, it was just breathtaking. They made this beautiful cup of coffee. I even took a picture of it. It has a heart on it. And I knew from then on everything was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the biggest key was putting earplugs when I went to lay down, because thankfully I brought them. So I was able to really just totally unplug, which was so, so necessary for this trip to go any further. So yeah, that was incredible.
Thank God for those earplugs too, because I did not prepare again. Let me just run off to India without being prepared with anything. And you gave me some earplugs, because after my first night there's horns honking all night long. There's monkeys, there's cows mooing. There's just it never sleeps. They say New York is a city that never sleeps. Apparently Rishikesh never sleeps either, because all night long there's noise. So it was very difficult to get any rest. And you gave me those, it was like the little earwax swimmers or drummers. Earbuds. Oh my gosh. Those things were like magic. I just popped them in the second night and slept like a baby. So thank you again. I was so grateful.
You're welcome. Let me tell you, it's a lifesaver.
Yes. So I was the American traveler again, coming, rolling up the same morning that our meditation course was starting. And it was definitely a moment of vulnerability, I think, for me, because who am I? Like, I didn't really have much of a spiritual background. There's a lot of yoga teachers that are there, people who are going much deeper into their practice. And here I am, this corporate American that's saying, I've got to become a meditation teacher. So I felt very out of my element, and I'm rolling in and I'm seeing these like beautiful women with their long hair ready to take our course. And here's Lindy. And I didn't know you were American when I first saw you. You had this very Turkish look to you. You know, you're tan and you had your hair all wrapped up in this beautiful scarf. And it was kind of intimidating the first time I saw you.
Oh.
You were very loving and welcoming once you opened your mouth. but I think it was definitely an instant bond that you and I had once we figured out where each other was from and our background and what we were into. And we'll get into that in today's episode. So thinking about practicing, Lindy, we both had a similar experience on that first day. So we signed up for this meditation teacher training. And what was the first thing we did?
Oh, we introduced ourselves. And just after that, here we're thinking we're going to start in this meditation course. So they said, all right, everyone, stand up. And we all looked at each other like, what's happening right now? They turned on this music and they told us to start dancing and look at each other in the eyes and connect with each other and go from person to person and swing and sway and move your arms and all this. And we're like, I didn't sign up for this.
So, yeah. Oh. We both had the same thought of, what the heck is this? I thought we were coming to become meditation teachers, not to dance. What is this? Yeah. And that was a beautiful moment for us to shed all past beliefs, all limiting beliefs of what meditation is and is supposed to be. And it was a beautiful start to our journey as teachers, because now we know the wide, vast variety of all things meditation because of the way that we started that course together.
Yes. There's more than one way.
There is more than one way. And I think what I've learned now is that dancing or ecstatic dance, just letting yourself be free with the beat of the music, is one of the quickest ways into a meditative state. It is for me anyways now after that experience. And that's the way we started every day there. We'd get in, we'd set our intention for the day. We would light the sage bowl, the candles, and get up and let's start dancing. It was fun. I affirmed after that. I said, we're going to have a dance party every day in our home when I get back from India. This is definitely something I'm not leaving behind here.
Exactly. We're celebrating something.
We're celebrating something. Yes. India is so full of celebration, isn't it?
It is. It is. I realized that when I came back to the States, we're lucky if we celebrate our birthday, because most people don't want to know that they're getting older, number one. And even anniversaries. Do you even care about your spouse anymore? Do you even have a celebration of those things that we celebrate once a year? These people get up, the bells go off, the gongs go off at 4:15, then they start chanting at 4:00. This sound just fills the air. You hear it everywhere from one end of the market to the other end of the town, and it goes on all day long until the closing of the evening with the beautiful flowers and the candles and releasing them into the Ganga just for the end of the day, just celebrating. They're just celebrating the day, the life that they have in the present moment. It's just so beautiful.
So they have what Lindy's referring to is called puja. And so every morning they get up and they set their intention for the day. What are they wishing for? What do they want from themselves for the day, and they've got these beautiful, I can't remember what the flowers are called that they send down the river, but they light this boat with ghee with their intention, and they put it into the Ganga, and then they get in this freezing cold river, and they bathe in it every morning. They drink it so that they can take in the holiness of the river. And then they do the same thing later that evening, same celebration. So we got to experience a celebration where they're singing and chanting and lighting incense, and everyone's just so happy and at peace. It's so, you don't see anyone there with a scowl on their face, feeling like they didn't make enough money that day, or, you know, they don't have the biggest scooter on the block or the biggest cow on the block. Present and there. Oh.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We got to go back there.
We got to go back there. We do. So thinking about what we took away from there, what are some of the top practices or lessons that we took, Lindy, that we want our listeners to know about?
I think the biggest thing for me was that you're always home. Home is in the heart. So, but it's so like fleeting. We don't realize that. We think home is somewhere outside of ourselves, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing that I took from India. I went all the way to a different country to find out that I was already home. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah, I think we all experienced that at different times after various meditations. And we had such a small group. I think there was 6 or 7 of us in our group. In our teacher training, and Lisa, who's from, where is Lisa from?
Portugal. Goodness.
Maybe Portugal. Thank you. The islands of Portugal at that. She's from one of the Portuguese islands. I remember that beautiful moment, and she came out of meditation and she was just crying, and everyone was consoling her, because that's what we did. We all do that. We have our meditative experiences. We're releasing a lot, and crying doesn't always mean you're sad, and you kind of, you want to tiptoe to those who are going through that. Are you sad? Are you happy right now? Are you okay? Did you just have a realization? And I remember that coming out of Lisa's mouth, saying, I finally realized that I'm home. That this is home. I'm always home. I get teary-eyed thinking about it. It was such a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. Oh man.
Yes.
Yeah, so Mars and I are gonna take a moment here to our eyes. Wow. Yeah. And this is exactly what we're looking to share with our listeners. Is to find this sacred space for themselves. And you don't have to go outside of yourself to find it.
We get so incredibly busy, and we're a culture of doing. The more we're doing, the more we're accomplishing, the better people we are, the better people we must be. But you're exactly right. We're already here. And when you take even 5 minutes to meditate, to experience sound, to just love yourself, it's a game changer. It really is a change in your life. And it's those small, subtle shifts that all of a sudden you feel a bit more peaceful, you feel a bit more at home, you're happier. And there's no reason. It's not because you accomplished something that day.
Right.
You feel at peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of my big takeaways was breathing, the breath, how that really is the foundation of meditation. And I got in trouble a lot with Shiva, remember, during our breath work when we were learning how to breathe through meditation. And Shiva was always, you need to breathe into your belly. Watch the belly rise and fall. And you're up here. You're in your lungs too much. You need to get into your belly. And it was a hard concept for me to understand. And while I had done a bit of yoga, I was doing the American yoga. You know, it was for exercise and for health, not really for wellness of the mind and the soul. So no one ever really taught me how to breathe properly until that moment. So that was new for me. Remember, he was always yelling at me, and I'm like, I'm breathing in my belly, Shiva.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He was tough on me, wasn't he? Yes.
He was.
I know.
He really was. I felt bad for you at times, but I knew you could take it.
Yes, I was there to learn, and now I can teach. So in my workshops that I've led since then, I talk about how we really tied up our breath. Culture has really done this to us. The magazine culture of thin is in. We're always sucking in our gut and wearing clothes that are too tight for us to try to make ourselves look as skinny as possible. And we're really damaging our health because we're pushing that breath into our upper lungs, and we're not getting that full diaphragmatic breath that helps us enter a meditative state that keeps our nervous system calm. And what happens when we have those short breaths is that our body thinks that there's something dangerous out there. Short breath from the lizard brain, there's danger. That's what that means. There's danger out there. And so if we're constantly sending a message to our bodies with that shortened breath, it's no wonder we're stressed and full of anxiety. It's that breath. So Lindy and I have advertised this on our podcast before, that we have a Patreon membership. It's patreon.com/IamShiftable. And this month's video is all about untying the breath. So if you feel like you are among the many that does not breathe correctly, that doesn't know how to do a full diaphragmatic breath, that first level of Patreon membership, there's a video that shows you how. So we welcome you. We invite you to go and check that out so that you too can learn how to breathe correctly. Shiva would be proud. We will be proud. What else, Lindy? Are there any other takeaways that from our time in meditation teacher training that we want to share with our listeners?
Well, I think we talked about, like, when I first saw you, when you were talking, when you were doing your introduction in the beginning, it was so sweet. So you scan the room and there's one American. I'm like, oh, she's American. In my mind, I'm like, oh, nice. And you start talking, and you started talking about this beautiful romantic relationship with your husband and how you met. And then you found out that shortly after meeting that you had to have a baby right away for some medical condition, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of course, breaking that to him. And Brandon is a veteran, mm-hmm, that has had experienced some injuries. So, and you were helping him with that, with Reiki. And I just, as you were talking and unfolding this beautiful story, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then you have these two beautiful boys, and then something in my brain or something tells me you're going to work together. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just all in your story. And I knew one day that we were going to work. We have something to do together. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting to just watch all that unfold, because mm-hmm, I was like all in Team Mars to your story, melting with your whole family story. It was beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes.
I felt the same. So Lindy is a service member as well. She was in the Army, and that was one of our big connecting moments of the time that she had and the work that she wants to do or is doing with veterans and the work that I've done with my husband. So we both have this calling to help those who have not only served but struggled since they have left the service through PTSD and other physical ailments thanks to their time at war. And we have been able to see the transformative power of meditation, of the healing modalities that we offer through Reiki and sound medicine, the changes that can happen immediately through these healing modalities. So that was definitely a big connector for us.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
One more thing that I wanted to bring up, one of our big takeaways, is that through meditation, you know, we think that we're supposed to stop our thoughts. And actually, some of the most profound moments come in thought during meditation. So it's just the busy thoughts that we're looking to stop during meditation. So one powerful message that came to me, or Shiva may have shared this with us, is that during meditation, you either find the answers to your questions, or you just stop questioning. because you realize that you don't need to question certain things. We have this Western mindset that we have to have the answer. We have to know the science behind everything, the proof. And in the East, they just know. They trust, they believe, they listen to their higher selves. And that's something that can come from a daily meditation practice as well, is beginning to trust that intuition, trust your higher self, and just having that knowing so that you don't have to question. So that was a big takeaway for me.
Wow.
During our time there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So Lindy, we had these days full of training. So the big piece was actually experiencing what we were going to be teaching. So we would learn a type of meditation, we would experience it, and then we would learn how to teach it to others, how to share that experience. And so we were doing this sometimes 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And we would take breaks for breakfast and lunch, and we would have our chai breaks. But otherwise, we were doing this for pretty long days. And so I was getting med head, you know, I was that vision of floating at the end of the day. And after we'd been doing this for, I think it was about a week, we had a half day, and Shiva shared with us, whatever you do, don't go out into the village. Just stay here, get some nice tea. Don't eat too heavy meals. Don't eat anything spicy. Just relax and take some time for yourself. And Lindy, what did we do?
We decided to go into the town.
Going into town, of course. So we go into town. Mind you, I want to shop. Like, I'm seeing all of these beautiful things that are so incredibly affordable that you can't find back home, all these souvenirs and clothing and everything. But my bank never figured out my card. So I still don't have any other money other than the cash that Brandon had wired to me. And fortunately, the meals are, I mean, you're eating for just a couple of dollars a day. It was very, very affordable. So it's not like I was running through my money. So I had some cash if we wanted to get anything. And so we go out. And the first thing that happens when we enter the market area, I see these beautiful drums that this man is carrying made from mango wood. And I'm like, ooh, Lindy, look at those beautiful drums. I know you want one of those drums, because one of the things Lindy shared with me is that she collects musical instruments. And I'm like, I think I can haggle for us. You want me to haggle? So we talk to this man. We learn all about how he creates these beautiful mango wood drums, how his family works on him. It's got this beautiful story. And I think he said he was selling them for $1,000 in Indian cash. And it worked out to be about $50 or $60. Am I right, Lindy?
Yeah.
So I've got enough money. I talk him down. I haggle to get a price for two of them. And I've got money for both Lindy and I wrapped in. And in my mind, I'm not communicating this telepathically, I am to Lindy. In my mind, I'm going to pay for these drums and Lindy can just give me the cash later. Well, what happens is Lindy pays for hers. I pay for Lindy and mine. I hand over all my money. And we get to this shop where Lindy is going to buy her singing bowls. And I look at Lindy and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lindy, I just realized I gave away all my money to that man. I have no money left. Oh, it was this moment, like earlier in the day when we were meditating, I had this conversation with my ego because I was feeling so light and it was my higher self that was driving the conversation. And I had this talk with my ego of, you're taking the back seat from now on. I like the way I feel right now. My higher self is going to be the one in charge. So get in the back seat, ego. And that was the moment where my ego was saying, oh yeah, you think you can get by without me? You just gave away all your money. That's what I'm good for. So it was a rough moment, but we had a great time in the shop, didn't we, Lindy?
Yes,
when
we
you were getting your singing bowls. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about how those were selected? That was a pretty cool experience.
Oh, yes. So
chakra.
A couple days before, I was able to pick out just one bowl, which was fine with me because it was just the most amazing sounding bowl, and it happened to be the root chakra bowl. So we went back a few days later, and that's when Mars and I went, and I brought my original bowl so we can marry them all together so they all harmonize in the same frequency, same keys. And so the shop owner was so sweet. Remember him and his mother, his parents were there and they're making us chai. They're just incredibly kind, sweet, helpful people.
They live there at the shop.
Yes. I've totally forgotten about that.
So yeah, their house was in the back. So she took us back there to make us some chai.
Yes. The shop itself is very small. And then the room back behind the shop was about the same size and where they lived. So, but just so sweet. Just remember how lovely they were. So we left there and we decide to, well, let's get back as quick as possible. So we get this guy to give us a ride back on a scooter. So we got all the way back to the town where we originated from. And I realize I no longer have my wallet. It was in my side pocket of my pants and it was gone. So I...
We're seeing the theme here.
Yeah. So I realized, I believe that my wallet had my mom's picture in it. So I was devastated. It wasn't so much the wallet. It was the contents. So the guy was so nice to take us back or take me back in the scooter. We retraced our steps and we never found the wallet. So the next day, you know, I'm still kind of broken up that I lost my mom's picture and it's the only one I have of her in that picture. And it was just devastating. So we get into class the next day, we're like both of us kind of exhausted and kind of beat down from what our experience was in the village. And we should have really just listened and taken our time and just had a quiet night, and we didn't. So there you go.
Yeah, we seek adventure. So
right.
Lesson learned. But all of those things happened because they needed to. You know, that the man who sold us the drums was probably manifesting a certain amount of money that he wanted to make that day. And although it was coming from my pocket, what a beautiful way for him to be able to receive it. And I was still okay. I still survived. All of my friends I was making helped me eat. So it's not like I went hungry.
Right.
We were okay. Yep. We survived. And I think a big piece of Linda, your loss was your mom has already crossed over. And so it wasn't like you had a digital copy of that photo. And so we had a moment of release together. It was sad. It was disheartening, but it was a beautiful moment to be able to let that go. And we could feel her presence. Remember, we felt her presence there with us saying, it's okay. It's time for you to let go of this picture.
Right. Right. It was powerful.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Lesson learned though, when you have med head, do not go out into society.
Yes.
So when you've been meditating for 12 hours a day, right. Stay home.
Just be still and allow yourself to be.
Yeah. Wow. So one of the other things that was happening simultaneously during our time there was Muji being in town. And Muji is this spiritual leader that travels the world. He spends a lot of time in India, actually. And when I first arrived there in Rishikesh, I shared a taxi with a man, which you're not supposed to share a taxi with anybody, but I trusted it. I felt pretty good about it. And he was going into town from the small airport there. And so I had never heard of Muji before, but Lisa in our class was also there to see Muji. And everyone who talks about him says that he's the one. They no longer have questions about purpose in life, that he really helped explain everything for them. So I really wanted to go. I'm like, if we're here, we've got to go see this guy. I don't care if we're in class all day or not. We're going to see this guy. And so thankfully we had another day off and Shiva agreed to take Lindy and I to this experience. And it was the final day of Muji being in town. He'd been having these satsangs for 10 days in a row. And so something pretty powerful was bound to happen, right, Lindy?
Absolutely.
That's what we were thinking. Mm-hmm. So we worked our way there in a little tuk-tuk from through all of the traffic and noise. And when we arrived at this compound where they were hosting the event at this ashram, everyone was dressed in white. They were serving some sort of food to everyone. I didn't partake in it, but you know, you leave your shoes at the door and there was just this beautiful calming energy. And although there were so many people there, it was almost like waves. It was just, it worked, that you could work your way into this hall where the satsang would happen. And they were starting with the bhajans. The bhajans are the singing. So I can't remember the definition of it, but they've got, they have a band that Muji has a band that tours with him basically. And they have a, what are the types of instruments, Lindy? What is the instrument called? Oh,
they have
called?
Like harmoniums. They have sitars. They have the drums, the tabla drums.
And voices of angels.
Yes, and they had this entire choir there. It was beautiful.
Yes. Hang tight, and we're going to share a clip for our listeners so you can hear the beauty that happened that day. And I remember feeling, so not only is this band singing for the bhajans, but the mantras that they're singing are well known in this community. And so everyone there in the audience is singing along. And it was so powerful, the vibration that was being created there. I had this feeling of home, like, oh, I'm home. Everything was lifted away. There was no place to be other than here in this moment right now. It was so empowering, so beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we got to listen to that, I think it was for about 30 minutes or so. And then Muji started his satsang. And Lindy, how was that? What do you think?
It was his final day when we went. So he had already had, I guess, 10 days of satsang. And it's just a community where they are all visiting him and asking him questions. So, and he's open to answer whatever questions they have. Well, apparently on this day 10, they were still asking same or similar questions, maybe as day one. So by that day, Muji seemed a little bit frustrated with the questions. So when he gave his answers, he was really not wanting to even entertain answering them. And at one point, there's this one woman that was asking a question, which I'm sure he'd already talked about in the last 10 days prior to that. And they were having a kind of like not an argument, but he was trying to explain to her and she was not really receiving it. And then when he was finally able to explain to her, she like fell out. She like fainted. Didn't she like faint out or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone, all of a sudden, it was hard to see her because there were so many people, but all of a sudden you hear a group of people say, yeah. And the camera is trying to focus in because there's a camera that, for those who can't see Muji from where you're sitting, is trying to focus in on where she's fallen down and fainted.
Yeah.
It was quite the dramatic moment.
It was. So there was that. So I think that was like the culmination of people asking questions that they should already have received in answers by sitting and meditating. So they're following Muji, but they're not doing the practices. And I think this is what all of this boils down to. If we're asking questions on the outside, we're not going to get the answers. The answers are always going to be inside, and they're always going to be in silence. And the biggest trick and the biggest key to all of this is stopping talking long enough, getting in stillness so you can hear the answer.
Yes, there's only so much studying we can do. There's only so much. That's that Western mindset again. I need to know more. I need to know the proof, the answers, the strategy. And we're reading and we're listening to these types of podcasts. And that's another reason why Lindy and I wanted to create this podcast, is that so our listeners could actually experience these meditations. You know, we're going to talk about the benefits and we're going to talk about the proof, and we'll be interviewing listeners and our clients so that you can hear the types of experiences that are happening. But we want you to actually experience it too, because unless you are doing the work, it doesn't matter how much you listen to or how much you learn, how much you know, until you're applying it, you'll never actually experience that feeling of bliss, that oneness, that peacefulness.
Very true. Very, very true.
Yeah, so
the point is surrender, you know, when you don't feel like you always have to know everything.
Right. And so Muji was very frustrated. It was kind of cool. So we didn't have that Muji experience that everyone had been talking about. But I thought it was cool because we got to see Muji as a person, as a human being, that he does actually experience frustration, that he is indeed human. And so often we put people up on these pedestals, these spiritual beings. We put our bosses on pedestals. We put people in our communities on pedestals, and they can become almost intimidating to us, which we saw firsthand with that woman fainting as she was having this confrontation with Muji right in front of us. And what it does, it creates this dis-ease inside of us. It creates butterflies, discomfort that, who am I? I'm not worthy enough to talk to this person. Who am I to talk to this person that I've put on this pedestal? And at the end of the day, look at Muji. He's just like us. He gets frustrated. Right. There's not anything special about him. I'm sorry, Muji followers who are listening. He's wise. He pulls through some wisdom. But guess what? You have that inside of you as well. We all do. What an experience there with Muji. On our last day, one of the things that kept coming up again and again from our teachers that we had there in Rishikesh during our training was that we need to take a dip in the Ganga. And people back home told us, whatever you do, don't get in that river. It's the most polluted river in the world. You know they send dead bodies down that river. Whatever you do, don't get in it. You're going to get some sort of disease. So we were receiving all these warnings from our American friends back home. But then while we're there, we keep running into people. That was a big synchronicity for us. Well, to heal that, you know, I have psoriasis, and for whatever reason at the time, it was like boiling over. And one of our teachers was saying, that's your anger inside of you. It's coming out like a volcano, like lava. You need to take a dip in the Ganga for that. And, you know, for things that we needed to release. Oh, you take a dip in the Ganga for that. And so we decided to on our last day there, right, Lindy? Oh my God. We took our friend Claire from Australia, one of our classmates, to take a dip in the Ganga. So how was that for you, Lindy? Talk to our listeners about that experience.
Again, I'm very, very sound sensitive, and my ears are very sensitive to everything. Like if I dip in a cold swimming pool, my ears hurt right away. That was probably the coldest water I have ever dipped in. Mm-hmm. When I got up, I did not feel any pain in my ears or my body. I was just completely and utterly numb. Mm-hmm. And when I walked out, I was thinking, I need to cover my ears because I know that same feeling that I get now. The air is going to hit my wet ears and it's going to hurt even more. I didn't have any of that. It was just unusual, incredible. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to think of it.
Yeah, I don't know if there was something subliminal about seeing the people there, the locals, bathing in it every day, drinking it, knowing that it was holy, or if it was actually experiencing the holiness of the river, because I felt the same way. You get in and it's like a shock to your system, and it's like glass breaking when your body hits it. It's so cold, but everything falls away. And when you get out, it's not like you're shaking because you're still so cold. It's just like you said, everything just falls away from you. It was it was an incredible experience.
So it really was.
If you have the opportunity to get to India, I definitely encourage you, get in. You don't need a guide. You don't need someone to take you and do it. It's a very strong river, but they have these entry points with posts and chains that you can hang on to so you don't fall away. Make sure you wear shoes because there are indeed things that people purge into the river. You don't want to step on something strange while you're in there. But wow, what an experience if you ever have the opportunity to do so. And I think it's also about setting the intention. So we all set our own intentions of what we wanted to release when we got into the Ganga. And you don't need a magical holy river to do so. You can do that in the ease of your own home and in the shower, in the bathtub. If you're setting an intention of something that you want to wash away, what a beautiful ceremony to do so in the comfort of your own home as well. Do you agree, Lindy?
Absolutely. Intentions are everything. They really are. whether you intend to do something good or bad. Like some, I love when people, I didn't intend to say that. Most of the times they did. So it's just creating that positive forms of intentions and making that be your guiding light through your day and the rest of your life, really, because that sets the tone to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll have a separate episode all about setting intentions and the importance of doing so in your meditative practice. But when we get that question, Lindy, from either clients or workshops that we're leading, am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. A big piece that people don't even think about is their intention. What intention are they setting as they're going into meditation? You know, sometimes my intention is I just want to relax. I want to have some time to myself. And this is a space that I'm allowing that to happen. And many times I'll have questions where the busyness of everyone else's opinion is clogging my own viewpoint and I want to have a certain question answered. So I'll set that intention. I'm going into this meditative state because I would like to know, do we really need to buy a car here in Guatemala? And yes, it can be as simple and as silly as that, but answers come from your higher self when you set that intention of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish or receive during that experience.
Right. And trusting.
Yes.
Trusting what you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So quite the journey that Lindy and I had, and what a beautiful way to meet a soul sister to go halfway around the world, mm-hmm. all the way to India. So I was living in Virginia at the time. Lindy was in Florida, or is still in Florida at this time that we record. And we had to go all the way to Rishikesh, India to find each other.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yep. It's incredible. So glad you were there.
I'm so glad you were there. I'm grateful for you. I'm so glad we found each other. I'm sure our listeners are so glad we found each other because now we're bringing these transformative experiences to this podcast for them. So, Lindy, yeah. Anything else that you want to share about our time in India before we lead our listeners on their meditative experience today?
Let's see. Well, ultimately, this is all about beginning some sort of meditative practice. And like Marley said, we're going to have a whole bunch of them that are different and not one size fits all. So there's a variety of meditation practices that you can begin straight away and start for yourself. So it's what you do today that affects tomorrow, and what you do today affects today. So beginning a meditation practice is the key, really the key to all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't get discouraged. Even if you're not having these magical experiences right away during your first 5-minute meditation, that's okay. Just starting something. It's just like if you're trying to get rid of some extra weight that you've put on or get to your ideal body, you're not going to right away experience a pant size dropping or your shirt size going down a size. It doesn't happen right away, but little by little, making these small shifts, little by little, you'll start to see a difference. Somebody might start to say, oh, you're glowing a bit, or you seem peaceful today. What's going on? What are you doing differently? Mm-hmm. So hang in there. Keep trying. We encourage you to write in questions. If you have any questions about your practice, am I doing this right? There is no silly question. We'd love to share questions on air. Because you're not alone. Typically, you'll find you're not alone. So please write in to us at iamshiftable@gmail.com. iamshiftable@gmail.com. And then also, we've mentioned this before, if you'd like to have an experience, either through a guided meditation, a sound bath, receiving Reiki, and then talk about your experience on air, please write in to us. All right. Well, Lindy, it has been a pleasure sharing.
Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure. Mark.
Always a pleasure. And let's get started in today's experience.
Sounds good. Until next time. Welcome. And this week's meditation practice is alternate nostril breathing. It's a pranayama exercise, meaning that it is a breathwork exercise. And alternate nostril breathing is a great way to calm the central nervous system and relieve tension and anxiety. It is great for concentration, cleansing, and even a great way for relieving headaches. So let's get started. So you're going to use your right hand as a mudra, which is a hand position and a hand posture in yoga. And you're going to take the right index finger and middle finger and place it on your forehead. You're going to take your right thumb and place it on the outside of the right nostril. And you'll take the ring finger and the pinky finger and place it on the outside of the left nostril. So let's start with the right side. Close your right nostril with your right thumb and exhale all of your air out of the left nostril. Then inhale from the left nostril. Close your left nostril with your ring finger and open your thumb and exhale slowly the air in the right nostril. Then slowly, when you're ready, breathe in from the right nostril. Pause for a moment. Close the right nostril, open the left nostril, and exhale all of the air. Inhale, nice and slow and easy. Pause at the top of the inhalation. Close the left nostril, open the right thumb, exhale slowly. At the end of the exhale, maybe pausing for a moment. Then inhale slowly. Pause. Close the right nostril, open the left nostril, exhale completely. Inhale. Maybe pausing at the top of the inhalation. Close off the left nostril, open the right nostril, exhale completely. And continue at your own pace with your own breath as you become more familiar with your own breathing pattern. Allow yourself to gently breathe in and gently breathe out. Try not to force the breath. Just be with your breath as easy as possible. Continue alternating at your own pace while listening to the music. It's time to release the breath. Release your hand down into your lap. Relax your shoulders. And notice the breath. Slowly moving in. Slowly moving out. Notice how you're feeling. You can practice this pranayama every day. And as you become more familiar, you can practice it for longer periods of time. We will have recordings available for you to download to assist you with your practice. Thank you very much for being with us today and enjoying meditation. Namaste. If you would like to take your practice deeper with guidance on things like unifying your breath, mastering meditative postures, and a variety of meditations, you can become a Patreon member by signing up at patreon.com/IAmShiftable. That's patreon.com/IAmShiftable. Until next week, enjoy every shift, my love.